If you're settling into your Sunday morning with a flat white, a cappuccino or a long black, in my case it's a very strong double espresso, well, we can know that we've got billions of friends right here with us. Every single day, the world gets through more than 2.25 billion cups of coffee, and it all adds up to an industry worth over $100 billion. So it's no wonder that people sat up and took notice when back in 2012, scientists at the Royal Botanic Gardens at Kew in Greater London dropped some pretty alarming news. Many of the world's wild coffee species are at risk of extinction, threatened by climate change and vanishing habitats. But there's good news. After years spent tracking down these rare coffee species and working hard to protect them, researchers are saying we might just be able to safeguard the future of one of the world's best loved drinks. Joining me this morning to tell us all about it is Dr. Aaron Davis. He's Senior Research Leader at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew and one of the world's foremost coffee scientists. Aaron, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Good morning.
Aaron, can you paint us a picture of the plants used in commercial coffee production?
So we depend on two species for all our coffee, Arabica and Robusta. And global production is roughly 50% for each species. Now, the coffee that you like to drink in Melbourne and across Australia is Arabica. If we're having an espresso, we might mix in a bit of Robusta. But generally, Robusta is used for instant coffee. But it's those two species that provide us with 99.99% of all our coffee.
And beyond Arabica and Robusta, how many coffee species are there out there in the wild?
Well, we've been doing a lot of work on this for the last three decades or so, but we're now up to 133 species. And I say species because these are not varieties of Arabica and Robusta. These are very different species that occur in very different habitats and different parts of the world.
More than a decade ago, your research sounded the alarm about the future of these wild coffee species. What did you discover?
Well, we had two studies. The study in 2012, that sort of raised some serious red flags about wild Arabica in Ethiopia. And then we published a study in 2019, which showed that of those 130-odd species, 60% were threatened with extinction. Now, when you think that the coffee industry has gone back to use wild resources on roughly a 30-year basis to sustain the industry, you know, we need those genetic resources to sustain global coffee production.
What are you saying, that this is a gene reservoir, these wild coffee habitats?
It's a reservoir of particular traits and genes that ensure resistance and resilience to pests and diseases. But it's not just varieties. If you go back to beginning of the 20th century, we weren't drinking Arabica and Robusta. We were drinking Arabica and Liberica. And if you go back to the 1850s, the world really only consumed Arabica. So it's quite a dynamic landscape in terms of this, not only using genetic resources, but the species that we consume for, you know, our daily cup of coffee.
Why does losing that biological insurance or gene bank mean that we might all not be able to drink our coffees?
So firstly, it's for Arabica and Robusta. And there are, as I say, our two main crops. We've used those wild resources, those wild genetic resources, to ensure pest and disease resistance. But we're now in a new era where Arabica and Robusta are both having some serious issues with increasing temperatures, changing rainfall patterns, and we will need to step outside of those species to other coffee species to ensure climate resiliency, across this century.
So since the alarm was sounded way back in 2012 that these wild coffee species are in danger, where have you been focusing your research?
Initially, we were looking at the risks and opportunities to coffee production. So we did a lot of modelling work. We did a lot of travel to places like Ethiopia to really understand the risk. Now I think we've really got a handle on that, and it's not good news. And then I think we came to a point where we say, right, this is happening. What do we need to do about it? What are going to be the most effective adaptation pathways for the coffee sector?
What have been the most exciting discoveries or developments in your research in recent years?
we've come to the conclusion that the most cost-effective and most beneficial adaptation pathway for farmers is to change the coffee species, and not varieties of Arabica robusta, but something quite different. In 2016, we were in Uganda, and we realized that actually, without the intervention of NGOs or governments or scientists, farmers were already changing their coffee crop. And they weren't doing it for fun, of course. They were doing it to maintain their livelihoods. So they're shifting, in this case, from Robusta coffee to Excelsa coffee because it was more drought, more heat tolerant, and yet was still highly productive and produced the coffee that they could sell into the coffee value chain. And then we thought, well, you know, what are the other coffee species that could be utilized to support farmers that was, you know, really suffering from the impacts of climate change? So we're not suggesting let's get rid of Arabica and Robusta or they're going to be replaced over the next few decades. What we're trying to say is that how can we support those farmers that, you know, want to keep growing coffee but are not able to do so with Arabica and Robusta?
So you're looking at heat-tolerant species that can take the industry into a world where the climate is rapidly changing.
Exactly. But it's not just heat. Temperature increases through anthropogenic climate change, of course, is the driver behind all this. But, you know, it's precipitation, it's rainfall that's one of the main issues. You know, drought is a really, really key issue for coffee farmers. But what we're, you know, what we've seen happen in a relatively short space of time is that some of these alternative species have really taken a foothold in Africa and Asia.
So you sounded the alarm back in 2012, and it sounds like a lot of farmers on the ground are adapting their product. What's been the reaction of the coffee industry more generally to your research and to your alarm bell ringing?
When I proposed using alternative species back in 2012, one of the major companies actually said to me, that, look, this is science fiction. This is not going to happen. Even 10 years after that, the same person was saying, look, you're right. This is a reality. This is going to happen. And if we go back to the beginning of the 20th century, we were actually using more coffee crop species than we use now. So we're going back and looking at what was successful 100, 125 years ago and, you know, reinvigorating some of those sort of lost and forgotten coffees that weren't applicable then, but are applicable now because the world has changed.
Do you think there are will from the industry itself to adapt?
It's been a slow process, you know, having these discussions with major producers and major export companies. But I think generally they're beginning to understand that something needs to change. They need alternatives to the you know, to Arabica and Robusta.
And how complex is the process of transitioning commercial coffee production to these more resilient species? I'm imagining it must take years and years and years.
It will take years. And as I've said, you know, Arabica and Robusta provide us with 99.99% of our coffee. You know, bringing in another species to take even a small portion of that total production volume, it's going to take a while. But it's already happening. This year, we've seen commercial entities planting 500 hectares, you know, really big commercial plantations for species like Excelsa. So it's happening, and it is gathering pace.
How do these new varieties taste? Are they good?
Well, you know, I always say keep an open mind, and I always believe that the other species just didn't have the flavor potential to really attract market attention or to bring in consumers to drink these species. But now I'm 100% convinced that this is possible. And we serve some of our alternative coffees, like Excelsa, to a range of folks. And they don't, in many cases, they don't notice the difference. And that's really what we're looking for. And one of the great things about some of these coffees is that they have a natural sweetness, which Robusta doesn't have. So they work very well in espresso blends.
Dr. Aaron Davis is a senior research leader of plant resources at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew in Greater London. Thanks so much for speaking to Sunday Extra.
You're welcome.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.